friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And on today's Going In Raw News Brief, we're going to review last night's Impact Wrestling. We're going to preview tonight's AEW and NXT. But first, Larson, are WWE superstars turning down new deals? What's in the news?
So let's go back a couple weeks, beginning of 2021, Fightful Select. Go subscribe to Fightful Select.
Terrific.
Terrific, the best. Had a report which stated that, quote, several new contracts were offered in mid-late 2020 that were said to be disappointing in comparison to those handed out last year. This is the WWE. Fightful continues. This has led at least a half dozen talents to shuffle their feet or outright pass on signing new deals presented to them. Some that Fightful has spoken to with have said they're opting to wait until things get more normal to improve their situation. Hmm. Now let's fast forward to yesterday. Brian Alvarez of the Wrestling Observer claims that he is aware of two talents who have yet to sign new deals.
Deals.
They are, according to Brian Alvarez, Matt Riddle and Ricochet. Now let's go back further in time. Let's go back to December 18th of last year, 2020. Meltzer reported that Riddle had agreed to terms on a new deal worth $400,000 annually. Jeez. And then about 2 weeks after that, Fightful Select provided some additional details on Riddle's negotiations with WWE, stating that, quote, Riddle was made initial offer and didn't seem too interested in renewing. However, after the new terms were brought forward, he was expected to sign by the end of 2020. WWE were hopeful that he signed before the calendar rolled over, and according to sources in WWE, that happened last week.
Interesting stuff. So Fightful says that he signed.
Here's the chronological order. December 18th, Meltzer says Riddle had agreed to terms.
Right.
December 30th, Fightful says that seemingly he has agreed to terms, and WWE are hopeful that he would sign by the end of the year. And then now, yesterday, I think, Alvarez saying that Riddle has not signed, and Ricochet, who I believe is set to be a free agent pretty soon, also not re-signed.
Well, hold on a second, though.
In chronological order.
Yeah, but the Fightful thing here says he was expected to sign by the end of 2020. WWE were hopeful that he'd sign before the calendar rolled over to 2020, and according to sources within WWE, that happened last week.
Yeah.
That happened. Doesn't that mean he signed?
According to their source.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Source listing, yeah.
So there's a bit of conflicting info is what we're getting.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, a far cry from...
I mean, if his match against Bob Lashley is any indication, Matt Riddle hasn't signed anything.
Maybe.
I kid.
No, I mean, it's hey, that's not a bad point. You know, that's happened before. You don't sign, you get squashed. Look at Matt Hardy got destroyed on his way out. He made the most of that, though. There's also a report from Fightful Select that Retribution were each offered $250,000 a year for 3 years. Which, yes, seems like a lot of money. $400,000 seems like a lot of money, but it's also down
compared to what they were doling out in 2019.
And, you know, we all have to understand the landscape has changed, you know, without house shows, with AEW loading up their roster quite a bit. I mean, you know, yeah, I love when people shuffle around, man. I love when people go from company to company to company. I think it's great. Sid did it like 8 times in the matter between 1998 and 2000.
It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And, you know, hopefully these wrestlers are using current situation to get every little bit of leverage, given that, you know, between now and the end of this coming year, or the year that we're in, rather, plenty of things might have changed in the landscape of the entire universe, Larson. So, good for them for holding out and seeing, maybe I can milk them for a little bit more money since they're going to milk me for everything that I'm worth.
Yeah. I mean, I think Riddle's contract is reportedly up in late summer or something like that, August or something like that. So, I mean, from his perspective, like there's no rush.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you got another 7 months yet.
Yeah.
Before you really have to make your decision. No send point rushing into things.
Send, I don't want to sign right now. And then they come back. Okay, well, we'll give you a couple more dollars. What? We're in March. Go back. Look, man, I maneuvered like the most lucrative car deal for myself in the history of cars when I got my new car a couple weeks ago.
No, they broke you down when they offered you some cookies. That's what it was, Steve.
Those are good cookies. They offered a lot of them, too. Oh, man. Hey, yeah, $400,000? No, a couple of giant chocolate chip cookies? All right, I'll sign on the dotted line. You can have my third-party stuff, too.
Exactly. Yeah, you fill out whatever you want to on this form. Cookies, yeah.
I'll write it on there. so, yeah. Interesting to see how contract season is going to go for a lot of these wrestlers. In Ricochet's case, yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, Matt Riddle, you know, yeah, he got completely murdered by Bobby Lashley, but I feel like WWE, for a couple reasons, is probably a good spot for him. Just speaking from a fan's perspective, of course, not his, I don't know what his personal business is like, beyond what I read on the internet. Ricochet, from a fan's perspective, it's a very interesting one because, like, you know, obviously we both think the world of Ricochet. He has obviously, since he came over from NXT to main roster, been kind of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
Not shocking at all that he would put the brakes on any contract negotiations and say, hold on a second. I want to go into free agency and see what's out there. You know, AEW's got a stacked roster. I don't know if he'd want to go back to New Japan. He's been there. I don't know what he would think is best for himself.
Yeah. I assume he would know and maybe be friendly with the Young Bucks. Given that, you know, that they were all kind of, you know, in the American independent scene at the same time, you know, working in New Japan at the same time, you know, whether AEW be an option, I would think so, but you can't say with a high degree of certainty.
The question would be, you know, AEW, they have no shortage of really terrific in-ring talent. And yep. Ricochet is like, you know, a top tier guy,
in terms of
probably.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. They have a lot of really great in-ring talent. Is he a big enough needle mover that they would offer him so much more money than the WWE would that's a priority of his?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's if money is a priority. But, you know, I'm sure, or I hope, Ricochet's done fairly well for himself the last couple of years. 2-3 years, how long he's been on the main roster. Maybe at this point, you know, if the paycheck isn't as high in AEW, but he's doing things that's actually really interesting to him and given an opportunity to showcase what he could do on a regular basis and be actively involved, that might be worth more to him than, you know, a few more thousand dollars. You don't know. Again, we say all the time, it depends what people's ambitions are, you know, if they want to be in WWE and make probably the most money they can. That's what they want. More power to them. If they're more about the creative aspect of things and will take less money to be in more involved, to showcase what they can do, you know, that's cool too. So you know, it's whatever aligns with their individual ambitions, you know. We've seen of late Ricochet on the mic from a character perspective. That bit he had on Raw Talk was great.
Yeah.
You know, his backstage stuff of late seems looser, seems more like him, has been really good. And that was always kind of the thing during his main roster run is whenever they stick him with the mic backstage or something, it's something scripted, it's hit or miss. But when it seems like he's getting an opportunity to be himself, he can deliver some good promos.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out.
We could find out pretty soon. Who knows?
The in-ring stuff is the selling point for Ricochet.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of his mic work, I mean, does it come off as genuine? Sure. Has he ever been the most compelling person on the mic? No. So, you know, and I think these days, man, there are so many compelling characters in wrestling, and there are so many really, really good in-ring workers. Now, I do think that he's up there with your Rey Fénixes. I do. I think that's a dream match right there that I'd love to see. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they fought before he went to NXT, but, you know, I'd love
in Lucha Underground, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Possibly, huh? So I don't know, man. I honestly think that, you know, him, it's such a toss up. Him, like, Cedric Alexander is doing such great stuff, and I do get the feeling that Ricochet could excel if he was given a heel persona.
I know.
I think that for some guys, if they come off as a bit bland as a face, It's because they're not having fun. They don't have anything fun to dig into. And then once you're heel, it's the same thing with Apollo Crews. Whenever Apollo Crews shows any amount of, like, you know, edge to him, he's instantly more of a compelling character.
Yep.
If you give the same freedom to Ricochet, you know, to be a dick, for lack of a better word, I'll probably be a lot more invested because it's like, oh, these guys can have some fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a shame that oftentimes our baby faces just don't seem like they're having very much fun.
So Ricochet as Prince Puma and Rey Fénix have faced at least once Lucha Underground.
Oh, okay.
January 14th, 2015.
Well, there you go. I'd love to see them 6 years later now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of some good wrestling, we watched Impact last night. Of course, you and me, the Enforcer. Posted up at the twitch.tv/Steven Larson. As long as the AEW thing is going on, I have a lot of fun doing these Tuesday streams. They're really mellow. We just, you know, shoot the shit and Impact's on our screen. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, last night was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed last night's stream quite a bit.
Yeah, same here. In the actual world of Impact, Kimberly defeated Taya Valkyrie. Chris Bay and Rahit Raju defeated Suicide and Manic. You're speculating, of course, that Manic is TJP.
Oh, definitely. Just look at all the tattoos on his arms.
All right. And then I'm speculating that Suicide was, of course, Christopher Daniels.
Okay.
Probably not, actually. Caleb Conley.
To further this crossover between AEW and Impact.
That's what I like to think. Or Kazarian.
Donning the Suicide gear yet
again.
You know,
they should get Confused Cowboy to be Suicide one
time.
There
you go.
Just have him the cowboy.
But have him the same size suit that, like, Kazarian would wear.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's like the sleeves go to here.
Yeah, and Confused Cowboy's tummy's kind of sticking out a little bit. That'd be great. Diener defeated Tommy Dreamer via DQ after interference from Cousin Jake.
Oh, Cousin Jake and Diener.
Rosemary defeated Tennille Dashwood with the help of some hairspray. Mm-hmm. Moose defeated Matthew Palmer via referee stoppage.
Killed him.
And then Rich Swann rolled up Carl Anderson. To get the win, the main event. And then afterward, there was a huge brawl backstage between Motor City Machine Guns, Rich Swann, and then you got the Good Brothers, Kenny Omega. While we're talking Impact, there's some other Impact news. They announced they'll have a new commentary team starting this Saturday at Hard to Kill. Josh Matthews, Madison Rain, they're leaving the commentary desk. I guess Josh Matthews is being, you know, he's in another position within the company.
I thought I heard that Madison Rain is leaving the company altogether to go focus on some other stuff.
Could be. I think in the press release they said she was going to announce her future at Hard to Kill.
Oh, okay.
Replacing them, Matt Stryker.
Steve Larson and the Enforcer.
Oh, that'd be great. Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown.
I wish that they added Vampiro to this commentary, but I like this, man. I think Matt Stryker's great. You know, I got some flack for saying Josh Matthews wasn't that bad, but I'm much more excited about Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown.
Yeah.
I've never heard D'Lo on commentary. I'm sure he's terrific.
He was great. Great in Dark Side of the Ring.
He was terrific.
His interview bits in that were outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm actually looking forward to this team on Tuesdays, man.
Same here. And then Saturday we'll get the first look at him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're going to do Hard to Kill. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm also looking forward to AEW tonight. We'll be doing our live recap of it after the show. We got Darby Allin versus Brian Cage, TNT title bout. I don't know if that's going to be the main event.
Yeah, they already said it's going to be the main event. They said in the Tony and Tony paid advertisement on Impact last night, they said this is going to be the main event.
I'm surprised because the Elite are going to be in action. And given this is all Elite wrestling, you figure maybe they get the main event.
They're trying to put over that TNT title, man.
It's a good looking title.
It is. Serena Deeb versus Ty Conti for the NWA Women's Championship. Go ahead.
The Inner Circle are going to give us their New Year's resolutions.
FTR will take on Jurassic Express. I believe it's going to be Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt.
Miro is going to defeat Chuck Taylor and make him his young boy Nebon.
Uh-huh. I think we get the Dynamite debut of Britt Baker's waiting room. I believe Cody will be the guest.
Cody Rhodes, yeah. Pac versus Eddie Kingston. That should be a banger of a match.
That should be good. And then this is still listed on Dynamite's website, Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa.
All right. And then over on NXT, which we'll be reviewing live tomorrow at noon Pacific 3 Eastern, Candice LeRae taking on Shotzi Blackheart.
Dexter Lumis versus John.
John.
John. Johnny Gargano.
Gargano, yeah. Adam Cole and Roderick Strong of the Undisputed Era going to be taking on Breezango in the first round of the Dusty Classic.
And like Steve, maybe potential match of the year, two of his favorite teams, Ever Rise, take it on Grizzled Young veterans. Again, another Dusty Classic first round matchup. Speaking of the Dusty Classic, the brackets were released today. We can do a quick run through this. We know four of the teams because we just talked about them. Roddy and Adam Cole. Why'd that just disappear?
Oh, it's on the page below it. I tried to increase the size.
Oh, you messed me up.
Sorry. So, I got it. Roddy, Tony Nese. Cole.
I got it. Breezango, we already talked about them. Go ahead.
Tony Nese and Daivari versus Theodonis and Destroy.
Kushida and Leon Ruff will be taking on Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory in the first round.
And then also... we've got what does this say? MSN?
No, it's MSK. Did you have LASIK?
I can't see it on my thing.
Really?
And it's not. It's not scooting over. MSK.
There we go. I got it.
MSK. What does MSK?
MSK. People are speculating that's gonna be the Rascals.
Oh, so they haven't said this means mash up soon.
I don't know. I don't know. The MSK mystery team is taking on Swerve and Jake Atlas.
Mm-hmm. And then Killian Dane and Drake Maverick taking on Kurt Stallion and August Gray.
And then we get Imperium taking on Lucha House Party.
And then Legado del Fantasma taking on Bollywood Boys.
Yeah. All right. Who's your pick to win this, Steve?
I don't know. The way. It's going to be the way. I think the way are going to win this.
Really?
I don't know. I can't even see half the competitors. Now, what happened to this thing? I screwed it all up.
Here you go. I'll move it for you. There you go. Now you can see one half of the bracket.
Okay. I mean, dude, I hope it's my thing is that it's always like somebody thrown together, and none of these teams really are thrown together. Like, the way is, I mean, they haven't really, I mean, they've been in a tag team match before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Kushida and Leon Ruff haven't tagged.
Oh, they're thrown together, but they're not. Yet. Yeah, that'd be great. Like, give Leon Ruff something to do. But I feel like he was just North American champion. He doesn't need it. I'm going to say it's either going to be, I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's like a wide open field. There's nobody obvious. Who do you think it's going to be?
Well, I think the semis are going to be Undisputed Era, Grizzled Young Veterans, probably Imperium, and then MSK.
So, like, okay, in the first round, dude, I don't even know Undisputed Era versus Breezango. I don't even know who to choose there.
Oh, Cole and Roddy are going over there.
Are they feuding? They're not feuding.
They have a clear path to semifinals because they're going to win that matchup. Whoever comes out of the Nese Daivari versus
that's
going to
be Adonis
and Troy.
That's going
to
be them.
Yeah, so it'd be Undisputed Era against them. Undisputed Era moves on to the semis. Kushida and Leon Ruff versus John Gargano and Austin Theory. Yeah, it's probably going to be John and Austin.
It's going to be the way there. Ever Rise versus Grizzled Young Veterans. That's got to be.
It's going to be Grizzled Young Veterans.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's going to be Grizzled Young Veterans. Veterans versus John and Austin Theory. That's kind of a toss up.
I lost.
Oh my gosh.
Other side
Stop
of this.
Messing with this shit.
I lost it, man. I'm sorry, man. I lost my touch. Anyways, thanks everybody for tuning in. Appreciate it. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Help support Going In Raw today by becoming a Friendo Club TV member. You'll get access to new bonus episodes every week, including Friendo Club Arcade, Live Power Rank, Vintage 10 for the Wins, and Ask Steven Larson. Get access to Friendo Club TV today by becoming a $5 and up patron at patreon.com/Steven Larson, by throwing us a sub at twitch.tv/Steven Larson, or by clicking join at youtube.com/Steven Larson.